Your backyard. Our homes are where we feel the most happy, safe, and secure. So when we see signs of foundation problems like cracks and uneven floors, we want to make sure it's fixed forever. At Woods Basement Systems, we understand. We've been eliminating foundation worries since 1986. Call Woods at 800-388-9326 for a free estimate. That's 800-388-9326 and stop worrying. Foundation problems don't get better with time. They get better with us. The All Things Basement-y experts. Go online to WoodsBasementSystems.com today. That's WoodsBasementSystems.com.
590 The Fan and the Ryan Kelly Morning After are happy to announce registration for the Lemmings Open Golf Tournament on Friday, October 23rd, presented by Michelob Ultra and GFI Digital. Or some tickets will be $600 and will include golf and cart for four players, lunch, and booze. The tournament will take place at Gateway National and get started with a 10:30 shotgun start. Get your tickets now. This is a first-come, first-serve event. Go to eventbrite.com and search Lemmings Open to sign up today. Or find the link under events on 590thefan.com. Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. They are proud to announce their 2020 Train Special, the same system they're installing in my home. This state-of-the-art system includes a 16 SEER rated air conditioner and a variable speed furnace to remove humidity, balance out temperature differences, and make your home more comfortable. Available with financing terms you can't beat. For more information, contact the official HVAC company of the Morning After, Design Air Heating and Cooling, at designair.net.
This is Diana with Neustetter's Fine Jewelry. This year we're celebrating 50 years in business. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives for over half a century. It's because of you that our small family business thrives in St. Louis. From our family to yours, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Hattie-O's is opening its doors all football season this year, and with 41 brand new TVs and NFL Sunday Ticket across the board, you've got a view of every game. Follow your fantasy lineup, cheer on your favorite team, or just enjoy the best burger in town with $3 smash burgers during all the games. Hattie-O's always provides free and safe parking, so you can confidently post up at a locally owned St. Louis establishment 5 nights a week. That's Hattie-O's, 618 South 7th Street, right next to Busch Stadium. See you at kickoff.
Are you currently sideways with the IRS? Do you have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night? Are you facing tax liens, bank levies, or wage garnishments? If so, you should contact former Department of Justice Tax Division attorney Mark Milton at stltaxlawyer.com. Mark Milton provides a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. Don't be sucked into the out-of-town tax resolution groups you hear on the TV and radio. Mark lives and works right here in the Kirkwood area. If you have IRS problems, visit stltaxlawyer.com today.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision. It should not be based solely on advertising.
Your heating, cooling, and indoor air quality system should improve your health in addition to providing comfort. And all across the St. Louis area, Scott Lee Heating Company is trusted with both. With over 40 years of experience with residential and commercial heating, cooling, and healthy air systems, including maintenance, repair, and replacement, they have St. Louis covered and comfortable. Contact them today to learn about cost-saving rebates at scottleeheating.com. Scott Lee Heating Company, where satisfied customers are their most important asset.
It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered, offering the latest in copiers, managed print, and customized IT solutions for every business need. At GFI Digital, we make technology simple.
Rock and roll, 590. Welcome aboard, everybody. We changed our format. New format just kicked in just now. My name is Sweet Talking Dougie Brown.
Sound like Wolfgang Opinion. Wolfman Opinion.
I would go with that if you want to.
We are moments away from Scott Sherman and his free... Look at this. Look at these phone calls already stacked up. Now, here, if you call now... People are catching on. You get a busy signal, but when we finish, when Scott finishes with someone, you jump right on these numbers. Just start dialing. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255.
You know what's amazing? This is why this segment is so great, because if you ever get a bill from a lawyer, I don't know how they do it, but anytime you talk to a lawyer for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or send them a text or send them a, man, they've got that billing down to where if you got a lawyer charge you $250, $350 an hour, it's unbelievable how they keep track of all the people they talk to, text, and email during the day, and what you talked about.
I wish I didn't know what you're talking about, but I do.
But that's why this segment's so awesome, is because free. A lot of people out there know that, and they can call this show and get it for free.
Whether you're on 5 minutes or 10 minutes, doesn't matter, until the job
think
is
of
done.
The bills, think of the bill that some of these callers would get if Scott was charging them.
Bill.
$250 an hour.
No, not that kind of bill. Not like a person, like an invoice bill. Yeah. Who is that guy that says that?
I'd like to ask Scott how lawyers do that, because I don't know. I don't know how they keep track of it.
Scott can tell you. Maybe during the segment you can ask Scott that question.
You got a slow spot.
I would like to talk to everybody about personal protective equipment, if you would allow me, and then we'll get right into Scott's segment. I had a thought today, and I think it's a good one. I know that Bertarelli is not in the mask making business. They're in the distribution business, warehouse business. But if they were, I would have red, white, and blue patriotic AM and the PM masks made. And I've made a couple of calls already today to check into this. I would be willing to buy like 1,000 of those, and we give them to our listeners. They just go pick them up like at Landolf or Bertarelli or First Community or Window World or something. So I'm working on that. We'll see how that goes. For now, if what you need is a mask, a couple of masks, or a couple of 100,000 masks, or gloves, or face shields, or plexiglass panels, or isolation gowns, and on and on and on, here's the name you need to know. Bertarelli. You say, that's a cutlery company. Yes, that's true, it is, and they're still in that 100%, but they have they are a 200% business. They're also in all the way 100% with the personal protective equipment, and they didn't do it because they thought it was some kind of a temporary, you know, train they could hook on to. They went into it 5 years ago in 2015 when nobody could have ever predicted we'd be going through what we're going through now, what we are. And people need masks, and they need to replace masks. Masks, the earpieces break, they get dirty. You need to get a new mask. So they have them. They have lots of them. And they're filling orders like 1 million, 2 million, 3 million gloves at a time for people who can't seem to find them other places or don't have 3 weeks to wait for them. So remember that, school districts. Remember that, hospitals. Remember that, food preparation places, restaurants, anybody who needs personal protective equipment needs to know that right here in St. Louis, you don't have to look any farther than that. They're here, Bertarelli. And, of course, cutlery. Need a new set of knives? Go in their little retail store there on the hill on Marconi. Actually, it's not that little. You got a lot of knives in there. You got some knives, you just haven't sharpened them in a long time, or you tried to sharpen them yourself. Let me tell you something. I've owned some of these knife sharpening things where you take and you know, it looks like a V, and you put the knife. You think that's a sharp knife? No. You couldn't. If you did that all day long, you couldn't sharpen that knife as sharp as Bertarelli can do it in just a few minutes. A few minutes. It's sharper than you ever knew it could be. You got one. You got 1,000. They sharpen 2,500 knives a day.
Ooh.
Yeah. That is impressive. Bertarelli. They are on the hill on Marconi, a terrific family business in St. Louis. 314-323-0714 or BertarelliCo.com. All right.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and
maybe if we have a little lull, we'll let Tim ask Scott about billing, but for now we have people who've been waiting. And Scott, how are you?
I'm great, Frank.
That's officially
great.
Welcome.
It's great to be here in the Smash Opinion.
Well, it's great to have you here. Scott Sherman, officially, let's welcome
you. Thank you. Smash Opinion.
The man. Are you ready to help people?
I'm absolutely. Assuming been waiting all week. I'm excited and ready to go.
Let's start with Doug. Doug, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, I'm AM in the PM again. I called once before and didn't say it, so I have to catch up.
Give him another one.
Hallelujah.
What you got?
All right, I've got an issue with my mother-in-law. She is or has been in an assisted living facility, and she needs help with her bathing and going to the bathroom and things like that. And she fell in the shower and broke her hip, and they're supposed to be attending her and don't know. She's got Alzheimer's, so we can't tell what happened. We're not allowed to go in. And she was in the hospital, tested positive twice for COVID, got over that, went to another facility that was more able to handle her with her the way she needs to be cared for now with the broken hip and all. And we got reports, because we're not allowed to go in this place either, we got reports that, you know, there is a bed source starting, and you know, everything seems to be fine, but she's not eating and some other things. And then we had a hospice nurse come in, and the diagnosis was much worse, and she was in a room with three people, two of whom had COVID-19, and it.
Well, you got a lot of stuff going on here. What it actually is your question for Scott? I'm sorry, you threw a lot of stuff out there. What is it you want to know?
I understand that, and I apologize. I'm just with the things that have happened, and her having Alzheimer's, and we don't feel like we're getting a straight story. Maybe. What options do I have to get to the bottom of this? And, you know, I'm looking for some guidance here.
This sounds like this is really about the fall in the shower, right? The broken hip. That's where it started.
It started with the fall in the shower, and we don't know if she wasn't attended to while she was in the shower.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Scott. This is a tough one. I'll tell you why I think it's a tough one. As a guy who's not an attorney, but I love pretending to be sometimes, I think it's tough because we don't know the specifics of this particular facility. In other words, is it assisted as needed? Is there supposed to be somebody constantly monitoring on and on and on? When somebody has the freedom to go in the shower, even though they're not supposed to, that's not their fault. I'm going to let Scott take this one. Scott, go ahead.
Doug, so is this a communications problem, or are we wanting to know if this is a negligence issue, for instance? Are they not giving you enough information?
Both.
Okay. So on the communication side, is there someone who obtained a power of attorney on behalf of your mom before she went in when she was lucid?
Can we ask how old she is? We didn't ask how old she is. How old is she?
88.
Okay.
And is she, they say...
And my wife has power of attorney.
She was competent at that time. So the communication is officially between the facility and your wife?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Then your wife stands in the shoes of your mother-in-law, and your wife should be demanding information. And getting a copy of her medical records at this time wouldn't hurt either. Because okay. Your wife really is her mom right now with respect to this kind of stuff.
Don't they also have to keep like a daily log?
Yes.
Of like
it'd be a checked, mountain of stuff.
Yeah, when she was checked on what time, what they noted, blah, 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 blah. She should have access to all
she
that.
She should have all that stuff, but she might not know what any of that means. She also should be getting regular updates from the medical staff of her mother's condition and anything that
right.
goes on. Now, with respect to that side, this also dovetails into the possible liability side. Now, this right. is a question you may not know the answer to. Is this a skilled nursing or hospital step-down facility, or is this a bona fide nursing home?
This is, she's in a memory care at an assisted living facility.
I would then say that let's lean towards that it's a nursing home. And here's the main difference. There are state regulations and guidelines that affect nursing homes much more stringently than they do medical hospital facilities and their step-down or their skilled nursing units. Therefore,
okay.
it is much more difficult if there is negligence. I'm not saying there is, but let's say the fall, Frank brought that up, the fractured hip, the exposure to COVID. those are much more difficult cases, even when there's a bad injury against a hospital slash skilled nursing side of the tennis court than on the bona fide nursing home side. So if this is part of an assisted living slash nursing home side of the tennis court, then that is something the people that I know who take those kinds of cases would be very interested once your wife obtained the medical records or even talking to her before. So I'm not trying to pin something on some institution it doesn't deserve. But when things go wrong and they are regulated or ordered by state law to do it, that's when those types of places, those nursing home facilities, get in real trouble. And not only do, but should, because they're not following the guidelines that they had to get the license to print money, which is what a lot of nursing home situations are. It doesn't mean the care is poor. It just means that there are a lot of rules, a lot more rules than a hospital.
Tell me if this makes sense. Yeah. She's 88. She has Alzheimer's, right?
Yes.
Okay, 88, yeah. Has Alzheimer's. She shouldn't have the ability to go try to take a shower by herself. To me, this is just my first thought is, I can't imagine allowing, obviously you don't want to chain them to the bed or something, but somebody should be monitoring something, an alarm that goes off if she tried to take a shower, a buzzer, alert, something. That doesn't sound right to me that she was even able to get
here, shower. Believe it or not, is the plaintiff's lawyer playing devil's advocate on behalf of the nursing home. What are we supposed to do? Tie people to the bed? What are we supposed to do? She can't remember anything, so
okay,
we
here's
do
my
have
answer.
That
We're
stuff.
In court. Yeah. You're the lawyer for the nursing home.
Yeah.
I'm representing Doug's mother.
Yes.
Here's my answer to that.
Yes.
No, you're not supposed to tie her to the bed, but what you could do, and it's very simple and doesn't cost a lot, is somehow be alerted when she tries to go into that bathroom by herself, which she's not supposed to do. It's a simple alarm system to alert you so you can run in there and stop her from having an accident that breaks her hip.
Yes, and now I'm going to jump to the other side of the side of the courtroom and join you and say this. How about this, nursing home smart guy? Follow the rules. There are so many regulations, you don't have to guess. All you have to do is follow the rules and regulations that are put out there for you, and if you do that, then you've done the best you can. But what happens in a lot of these cases is they don't follow those rules. They cut corners. They have their staff, for whatever reason, is either incompetent, underpaid, or both, or not as staffed as it should be, and people die. So this is one where it needs investigation. Doug, your wife deserves answers. She should get her mother's medical records, and if there's anything more that anybody, that me or anybody I know could do, send me an email, and it doesn't hurt to talk.
Oh, okay, and to clear this up a little bit, she will not take a shower unless they make her go. So it's not that she went in the shower, but then the next one, when we had the hospice nurse come in, we're getting one report at the second facility that things are, we have these issues and things are okay. And then
that's why you have to have the record so you can hold the phone update against what they put in the medical records. And if they're not consistent, then you'll know. But you're not going to know because your mother-in-law has no cognitive ability to communicate accurately what's going on with her. So your wife has to stand in her shoes and hold their feet to the fire and getting those records. And get them now before they get a lawyer's letter and they disappear.
Okay.
Just have her get them now.
Or before they have time to alter them. No, don't settle.
True.
We'll get them
through
30 days.
Right.
I want them tomorrow.
You know,
they can alter
the
records.
In my head, I edited myself because I don't want to get those things. Well, nobody does that. Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
So not this place necessarily, but things happen when people get nervous.
Doug, we got other people waiting. Do you have Scott's email address?
I appreciate your time.
Do you have Scott's email address?
Yes, I do. Law offices at scottsherman.com.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Law offices at
scottsherman.com. No, you don't. Singular. Not just office, not offices.
Oh.
Law office of.
He just
Scott
has
Sherman.
One office.
Yeah. All right.
He's going to have to call back next week and apologize.
Doug, good luck. Thank you. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
All right. The line is open. Jump fast. Whoever moves fast gets it. 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. Lee is next. Lee, thank you for your patience. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Lee. How are you?
I'm doing good. I am AM in the PM.
Well, a lot of people are.
What's up? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard. How can Scott help you?
Well, it's a little convoluted, but back in February, I signed a contract to move into an apartment, and they were, as people are moving out of these apartments, they're upgrading them and refurbishing them. So I was supposed to have a move-in date of March 1st. Well, they said that it wasn't going to be ready on March 1st, and so a couple weeks went by and still wasn't ready. And then later in March, they called and said, well, it should be ready the first week in April. And I said, okay, well, this is when COVID was coming up. So I said, well, I don't know how tough it's going to be to get a mover with this COVID thing going on. But that was all I said about it. Well, they evidently took that to mean that I didn't want the apartment. And so they gave it to somebody else. So time went on, and we still stayed in communication. And I was still trying to sell my house. First week in June, I called them and said, I'm closing on my house the last day of July. And so, okay, she said, well, we're having trouble getting flooring with this COVID. Okay, well, just keep me informed. I figured 7 weeks was plenty of time. So I kept in contact like every week, calling. She said, oh, we're still having trouble getting the flooring. And finally, she says that August 20th, we're going to get the flooring. So it'll take us another week, 10 days to get the apartment ready. Should be ready the first week in September.
Wow, we've gone from March to September?
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Right. So I spent the entire month of August in a motel. You know, calling every two or three days, what's going on? What's going on? Give me an update.
All right.
And so, and that's when I found out that the manager told me, well, you didn't want the apartment, so we gave it to somebody else.
Did you start this by saying you had a contract?
Yeah.
And you never canceled the contract. You never asked to get out of it. You never altered the contract. Contract's a contract.
Correct.
What he thought you said doesn't matter. I have one other question for you. Through all of this, when you got all these signals that this just wasn't going to happen for a while, if ever, did you ever consider looking at another apartment complex?
Yes, I did. I actually looked at places, but being over 55, a lot of these places have a year waiting list to get in.
Okay. Scott?
Okay. So, look, can I finish? I'm almost
sure.
At the
okay.
End of my
I thought
story
you were,
here.
I'm sorry. I thought you were through. Go ahead.
Okay. And so finally, I got the keys on September 4th, which was a Friday. I moved in September 5th, which was a Saturday, and this is Labor Day weekend. And so Tuesday night, you know, I'm sitting there in my front room. I get a knock on the door, and the manager's going, here, we need you to sign a new contract. And I said, no. And so, long story short, yesterday in the mail, I get a letter from an attorney saying that I owe 5 months of rent.
Okay. This is a no-brainer to me. Scott, you can have this.
No, wait, go ahead.
They're threatening him. They're just trying to scare him and threaten him. You don't owe 5 months rent for a place you didn't live.
That's right.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, so a lot of this stuff is their inability to deliver the apartment because the floor's not ready. So if indeed you had had some issues and you couldn't move in or you delayed things, they could argue that you breached the contract, but they breached their own contract. Then they made a new contract, which started when you moved in September. So you're never going to pay for months that you were not able to move in and they couldn't deliver it.
And they scared
they gave it to somebody, the other apartment, to somebody else.
And they scared you with a letter from an attorney. Now it's your
time. Well, they tried to.
It's your time to scare back and scare bigger.
So this is so egregiously bad that I can't believe the lawyer even put their name on it. So you're not doing anything.
Well, he's a lawyer for a collections agency.
Yeah, well, there's no collection. You don't owe anything. But hold on one sec, Lee. You waited a long time to be the first-time caller, and this is your reward. I get to tell you what I think. I want you to send me an email because I have a landlord-tenant lawyer that could probably fire back a pretty good lawyer against this apartment complex. The lease that you signed back in February means nothing with respect to February, March, April, May, June, July, and until August the 4th because they couldn't deliver their agreement. The new agreement does not mean you have to pay for the months with which that was impossible for you to live in.
If anything, if I could just, if anything, sure. They should owe him for his motel bills.
I was thinking that too, because
in my storage,
because
storage.
That is certainly should be in the letter. The question is, what did they tell Lee, and what did he rely on? If they said we can deliver the apartment June 1st, and then he go, great, I'm selling my house now, and then say, the day before on May 31st. Oh, sorry, Lee. We didn't get the flooring. It depends on how much notice Lee had as to whether or not he detrimentally relied on them. Or what you said is mitigation, which Lee addressed by saying it's a senior apartment. There aren't as many of these complexes as people might think, and he did the best he could. So I don't want the name of the lawyer on the air. But whatever stupid McJerkface sent you, I would like you to, if you could, email it to me with your information, and I'll put you in touch with my landlord-tenant guru. Hopefully, it's not stupid McJerkface, because that would really be embarrassing. But I suspect that based on my relationship with my person, that stupid McJerkface is exactly what he seems to be. Don't worry. Now, then the question is, are they going to file a suit to try and get you out of there? Well, they got to give you a notice to vacate. They didn't do that. They just said you owed them money. So you may be a month-to-month tenant. In the meantime, it looks like this friendship between you and whoever manages this you know, place is falling apart. This might be the time to start looking, a.k.a. mitigating, elsewhere in case you don't have as much time. Like, they sue you, it would be 30 days, they might get you out, but under no circumstances. This is the never pay them advice. And this reminds me of this, but it's not exactly like this. A friend of mine's mother got a phone call from somebody this week that claimed to be from Google or something, or Amazon, and said, you need to go to a store and get money orders and give those numbers, or you're going to go to jail. And believe it or not, this educated woman did just that to the tune of $5,000. This is almost like that. It's a not just scare tactic. It's almost extortion. This lawyer knows or should know there was no way for them to deliver you an apartment. There's no way you owe the money. But yet here you are afraid enough of this, and rightfully so, that after all of the years of listening to the show and not calling, you've called. And you think you've called the right place. Because I hate these people for you. But we got to address it. Okay. Might cost you a couple $100 to send letters back, but it's going to be worth it.
Well worth it. Lee, do you have Scott's email address?
I do. Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
There you go. You got it. All right. Well, good luck. I don't think you're in the driver's seat here. That's what I think. You'll be fine.
Well, that's what I thought, too. Yeah. I thought it was kind of stupid that they would go to all this trouble.
Yeah. Stupid McJerk.
They may have made a big mistake by doing that. We'll find out. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Okay, now, Dan, don't take this the wrong way, but I know you've been talking to whoever that is, Dan Strauss. Calling Dan Strauss. Dan Strauss.
He doesn't listen to the show.
Dan. Yes. I don't know who you're talking to, but if
Norman, I'm trying to
okay,
get him off.
Tell Norman goodbye. That's a line we need. And you've been talking to him a lot. You're a nice guy. You're too nice. We need that line. 314. Dan is going to eventually tell Norman goodbye. And now we have two lines open. Jump on them. 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. I'm telling you, jump now. Norman.
How come you never tell Limey or me that we're too nice? How come it's just...
Because you're not.
We're not.
Oh, not even nice.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. Tim's not even nice.
You have to be delicate with Norman a little bit.
I know that, Dan, but that line, we really need that line. And Norman just have to understand.
I told him to call him back. I told him to call back.
I know
Monday.
We don't like to be a jerk to Norman. I know that. But you are too nice. Let's go to Art. Art, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. AM and a PM.
Thank you, Art.
Hey, Art. How are you?
A Window World customer and a Borelli customer.
Ooh, thank you for that. What's your issue?
I have a little hand pistol, and a friend of mine wants me to sell it to him, and I know I can't sell it to him.
What do you mean you know you can't sell? Do you in Illinois?
Well, I don't have a retail license.
Well, you absolutely can sell it to him.
You can.
Sure. Unless you're in Illinois. You're in Illinois?
No, I'm Missouri.
No, you can sell it to him.
Oh, okay.
Write up a bill of sale. Write up a bill of sale, buyer, seller, have him sign it, you sign it, serial number, sell it to him. That's okay. My advice. Now, if I'm wrong, you keep listening and somebody will correct me, but I believe that I'm right.
Okay.
Illinois is a whole different animal. Scott, you agree?
I think Frank's absolutely right about Missouri. And in Illinois, I looked that up about the FOID cards and the transfer thereof. You can transfer, I think, lend, and you might even be able to sell things for hunting purposes. But since that's not relevant to Art, I believe Frank is right. Before you say, Frank and that stupid lawyer guy has, when the ATF's at the door, check it out online. But I'm pretty sure, because I do defer on weapons-related, firearms-related issues to Frank. I come back and I check it. But I think Frank's absolutely right. Yeah, there's no restriction.
Art, I'm a gambler. I'd put about $500 on my being right on this, but I wouldn't put my house on it. And I'm not 100%, but 98%. Here's the thing. You have access to a computer?
Yes.
As simple as this. Google, can I sell as an individual, can I sell a handgun to another Missouri resident? That's that simple.
Yeah, and believe it or not, this is going to sound counterintuitive, but the ATF's website is actually very informative on these types of things. They don't play gotcha. They lay out every state, and they are very specific about those types of frequently asked questions, and that's where I got my information about the Illinois stuff. I think that ATF.gov is probably the place to go.
And when you Google that question, that very well may be the first thing that pops up for you is the ATF site. And they'll explain it to you. But I'm pretty sure. I don't ever like to say I'm 100%, but I'm really pretty sure that in the state of Missouri, you can't. I think the whole bill of sale thing is for nothing more than your own protection. If this gun gets away from this guy who's buying it from you and gets in the wrong hands, but gets killed with it, it's going to come back to you unless you go, oh, look at this. Yeah. Bill of sale. Here was the buyer. I don't
own
the gun.
It's a great tracker for that serial number of that weapon, because if somebody you sold it to, it turns out that they're a ne'er-do-well, then they're going to come looking for you if they didn't register. And you go, oh, here's the bill of sale and the copy of the guy's driver's license. You might want to go check him out.
Art, what kind of gun is it?
It's a little hand Ruger. A
little hand Ruger. But what kind of little hand? Is it a revolver, a pistol?
Semi-automatic? Yeah.
What caliber?
380.
Okay. What is he going to give you for, if I can ask?
Well, I haven't discussed that with him. I wanted to find out if I could do it first.
Well, that's smart, I guess. Okay. Well, I think you can, but check it to make sure. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Art.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Look at this. Bye. All the lines are open because of the little Norman hiccup and glitch. So I'm going to give you the two numbers. And in about 60 seconds, they should all be lit up. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Well, Dan loads the names on the screen. Tim, your question for Scott was?
Scott, how do lawyers keep track of every conversation, text, email, hour that they spend on a case? Is there some type of software?
That's exactly right. I believe it's called On Time, because you're the large morning show in the afternoon research person. ONTIME, I believe, On Time is the type of software the lawyers use. These are the hourly lawyers, that, not me. I mean, I work for a living, but the people that talk on the phone and charge per 6-minute intervals and 10% of an hour at whatever their rate, looking at mail and opening it and having a conversation.
So as a quick follow-up, would most lawyers who bill, like my lawyer bills me, mm-hmm. I might add, I mean, it's incredible. Every text, every email, every he has a lengthy description of every email, text, what we discussed and what he did about it. Is he barking that into a recorder and giving it to some paralegal or somebody to type up, or does he actually, after each call, email, text, stop and enter this into the software and then go on to the next client?
Not since 1997. What they have is sort of like a point and click thing. It's sort of like a POS system at a restaurant. You go in, you tap certain stuff, it prints it out, and then you get an itemized bill, and by the time you see it, you're like, oh my goodness, this thing's so detailed.
Here's my question.
Took him longer to put it in there than it did to talk to
him. Here's my question. Let's say he sends a Tim or anybody a bill, and it says on April 16th, we discussed, and it's a long, is he billing for while he's writing what he's billing you about?
Yeah,
is that another piece of billing?
Here's the one you want to highlight. File review. Oh. Highlight those. See how much the file review costs. But, I'm sure some smarty pants lawyer is going to tell me that they never do that.
I think
it would be unethical to do that.
In most of the bigger firms, I think there is someone there who writes that up. He does dictate it and go on June
3rd. It's probably like medical record charting where they have certain codes for certain things. They only, it's like a number 3 at the clown. You go in there and, you get the number 3 with fries and they point that. But then if you touch these numbers or these boxes, then it prints out what that was for that file.
The most laughable one I ever received, I once did some business with the law firm that Steve Stenger was in before he went to prison.
Right.
And I got
Do we cheat him in how?
No. And I got a bill from one of the partners and they were reviewing a case that I was involved in. It was a civil matter. And they literally brought in another attorney that I had never met. And on my bill was the attorney from Steve Stenger's law firm, talked to attorney so-and-so about Mr. Woodburn's case. And then underneath that, it was that lawyer, talked to attorney about it. It was like they decided to have a conversation and both billed me for having the same conversation.
I get them every month.
It's unbelievable.
Here's what we're going to get right to the calls because they're all full now. Here's what I love. I get bills every month. And this just cracks me up every time. In the email, that's how they bill me. It says, for your convenience. And then there's the bill. My convenience. You want to make it convenient? Zero. That's really convenient. No charge. That would be convenient. Let's go to Brad. Brad, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking time today.
Thank you, sir.
Got a situation with a family member a few weeks ago, had passed away in an emergency room. 54 years old, and the emergency room then was to take this person or have this individual to the medical examiner, as they said that was the protocol. So they contacted a third-party company to transport this loved one to the medical examiner, the coroner's office. On a Friday night is when they died in the hospital.
Brad, if you don't mind, who was this person to you again? Was this a relative?
This person, yes. The person actually was an aunt.
Okay.
That passed away.
54, too young. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So with that, she had passed away on a Friday night. Medical examiner did not get her till Monday. At that point in time, she was so decomposed that there was no chance to have services, no viewing, no nothing. This company that had her, apparently, we don't know the circumstances. Apparently, there was no refrigeration. They didn't do the proper, things that a person would do. And we can't get any answers as to what happened. But the funeral home said they were unable to be able to do anything because of the circumstances. The hospital said they did their job, and it's this company that transported the individual to the medical examiner that took such a long time and didn't do the protocol properly to preserve her.
Okay,
go ahead.
Here we go with my amateur layman's legal thing. Here's my question. You didn't hire that company to transport her, right?
That is correct.
Who did? The hospital?
We're trying to get an answer if it was a hospital or medical examiner. We're thinking it was the hospital that contacted them. We don't know. And we've asked questions. We still don't know. We talked to an attorney, and they just would not take the case. And so
wouldn't take the case even though they don't know what they're taking? I mean, they're not even interested in looking into it a little bit?
Was not interested.
Let me ask you this. You said no refrigeration. How do you know that? Who told you that?
Well, the funeral home said, at first they said that there would be a viewing, no problem, because they didn't think, other than, you know, having the autopsy done, they didn't think it'd be an issue whatsoever.
But they said that prior to seeing her, right?
Prior to seeing them, said there wouldn't be a problem whatsoever.
Because
that they went to the medical examiner right away after the hospital. They didn't know anything about this third party company picking her up.
Okay, Scott, it's all yours, but to me, I'm just my run at it. Whoever hired this company, unless they can prove that somehow they dealt with them before, this was never an issue, or if this company already had a history of this, whoever hired this company, to me, is the one who needs to pay here. You take it.
There are a couple of ways to look at this, from a negligence tort point of view and a contract point of view. So, Brad, did the funeral home give a discount to the family for the things that would have happened but couldn't happen because your aunt was unable to be viewed?
They, as far as I know, just charged for cremation.
Okay. Then we go into, that's the contracts part. Then we go into the negligence part, the torts part, the pain and suffering and heartache that the family had to do because somebody screwed this up. You have a term called agency, just like, you know, your insurance agent or whatever kind of agent. Somebody's a sports agent. The third party transport company screwed this up, but they are the agent of the hospital. It doesn't matter that they didn't know that this place was going to screw this up. When a servant is doing the work of a master, then they screw it up so badly that even if the master itself didn't do anything wrong, the master can be at fault. It's called respondeat superior. It's French. This is one of your favorites.
I was going to say that.
So this place, even if they're not owned by the hospital, was contracted to do a particular piece of work here. And it's not an independent contractor like mine that screwed up my deck. Hey, I'll be back in 6 weeks when I get back from Arizona. Okay, I guess that's okay. Time's of the essence. This is more like, and forgive me for using an analogy because I'm not trying to be flippant about your aunt. It's like hiring somebody and they're going, well, our pizza delivery driver doesn't really work for us. He's an independent. Well, he didn't show up for 4 days. We don't need pizza now. We needed Aunt Betty to go to the medical examiner pronto and for her to arrive in a proper condition. So even if they pull that game, I say you've got someone to look at the actual actor here.
It sounds like the hospital.
And the hospital. Yeah. As an agency respondeat superior argument. If you would like, or somebody in the family would like to talk to me or my office about it, we'll talk about it. It's horrible. I don't know how valuable it is.
How responsible is the actual transport company? They're obviously responsible.
Same as the hospital, same as the transport company.
So you got two guilty parties.
You got two, and let them figure it out amongst themselves.
It's kind of like this, Brad. If I said something right now that was off the charts wrong, FCC violation, top of the list, two parties to blame, me and this station. Same thing.
Okay. So, and it's my understanding, too, that this third party had the ability for refrigeration and whatever, and perhaps, I don't know if they were full or what, but according to the funeral home, this body, they can tell, because of the way the body broke down, was they're 100% certain there was no refrigeration whatsoever. I won't go into graphic details, but they know for a fact that's not the case.
That negligence would lay with them as the primary actor, and also through this respondeat superior theory to the hospital for having them. So I don't know what the damages are for this.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Brad?
Would that fall under like a medical malpractice or no? That has nothing.
Because she's deceased already. If it was in an ambulance company, and they were supposed to take her somewhere and they forgot and they left her in a parking lot and she died. Yeah, that's medical malpractice. This is more sort of a generalized negligence where I don't know what the value is, but it's awfully interesting, and I'm very sorry to your family.
Bottom line is this.
Send me an email.
Bottom line is this. Brad's got a case. Somebody screwed up.
That's right.
Somebody needs to pay.
That's
right. In whatever form they do.
And in your aunt's memory, some lawyer needs to give you the respect of walking through all of this with you guys. Not just saying, it's not too big of a deal.
Now, in order to get one more person in here, Brad, do you have Scott's email address?
I would like to get that, if I may, please.
Scott?
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Thank you guys so much.
Hey, listen, and I'm sorry this happened to you. This is a horrible thing to have to, you know. I'm not a funeral person, but I know that to many families, that viewing of that body is a big deal. So good luck. Okay, he's gone. And now we go to Michael, and if we're lucky, we'll get Michael taken care of here as our last caller. Michael, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. I'm AM and PM.
Hey, Michael.
I talked to you a couple weeks ago about a sewer deal that was...
All right, Michael, you're moving around or something's happening, because here's what we heard. I talked to you about a deal. Try it again.
I talked to you a couple weeks ago about a sewer system that was coming through in our property.
Okay, this is not going to work. You're in a tin can or a well or something.
Let me try this. Can you hear me better?
Yes,
now?
Much better. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I talked to you a few weeks ago about a sewer system that's coming through our property, and now they want. And I got a real estate lawyer and all that, and now they want to put a pump station on my lot. It's like a 3-acre lot. But I told them it's going to be a significant amount of money if they want to do that on our property, which we're still like waiting to hear back. But my one neighbor is pretty jacked about it, and they're like getting a lawyer about it too, because they're, you know, obviously their property butts up to ours. Can they, legally sue me?
Okay, here's the problem we have. We have 1 minute, and I'm going to help Scott out here by saying what he's going to say. You're going to have to shoot him an email, because there are too many pieces to this that in a minute we could never satisfy your need for information here. Do you have Scott's email address?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
Okay, I'm sorry, Michael. I didn't realize it was so complicated, but that's what I think we're going to have to do.
It's no big deal. I called too late, and I just got off work, so it ain't no big deal.
Thank you for understanding. And, yeah, shoot him an email and just kind of outline this again and give him the backstory, and he'll take a look at it.
Yeah, it'll be tough for him, but send me an email, and we'll walk through it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, Michael.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, I hated to do that to him, but... you know, we actually have, we got barely over a minute. And there's no way you could address all that.
No, but I would like to say this. To anyone who gets a phone call from any organization or anybody saying they're from a government entity or any corporation and you have to go give them money right now or something bad's going to happen, hang up the phone and never answer that call again. And if they call back, get a callback number and call your local police. These scams are going on through... whether they're claiming the IRS, they're claiming to be some kind of utility company, they're claiming some kind of credit card company. Don't fall for these tricks and traps. Public service announcement to everyone. Please don't do it. It's going on right now.
And the other thing we have said, and you've said over and over and over, the IRS does not call you.
No.
Ever. They don't. They don't call people.
They will show up in slickers and handcuff you, but they won't call you.
They'll send you a frightening envelope that says internal revenue, but they're not going to call you.
No.
So never respond to an IRS call. That is nothing but a scam. And as long as you're talking about scams, I rewatched the documentary on the Polka King, Jan Lewan, the movie The Polka King, where Jack Black played the part of this real guy. Folks, watch both. The Jack Black movie, The Polka King, and the documentary on The Polka King on Netflix. Talk about scamming old people. This is a great, true story. Scott, thank you very much. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
We will be back next Thursday, and we will do this again. And thank you to everybody who called, and I hope you all get your issues resolved to your satisfaction. That's the whole point of this thing. And now, look at that time. You know what's next. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The 590 The Fan app is ready for you at your app store. Download it now and start listening today. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. It appears there's still a disconnect between the White House and CDC on a potential coronavirus vaccine. Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said the Institute is not involved in its development. He added CDC Director Robert Redfield's timeline is not consistent with that of Operation Warp Speed. Meadows explained that immediately distributing 100 million doses upon approval remains the goal. A former